The title of my message is Forgiveness That Goes Beyond Understanding. What does it mean to really forgive? I've heard people say that they've forgiven someone, but they still talk about what that person did to them, and they don't want anything to do with that person. Is that really forgiveness? What if God treated you that way? What if God forgave you of your sins, but then he held them over your head and brought them up occasionally to you? How would you feel? Would you feel that you were forgiven? When you become born again, God is not going to hold your past sins against you. All those sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. They're forgotten. God's not going to hold them over your head. If you remember anything that I say in this message today, I want you to remember this, that forgiveness brings spiritual productivity. It's pretty simple. That forgiveness brings spiritual productivity. If you can't produce the fruits of the Spirit in your life, then you're in trouble. Unless you have those fruits, then you don't have forgiveness. You had to have Jesus forgiving you of your sins so you could go on to receive those fruits. You can't produce those in your life unless you have forgiveness. We are promised forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's natural to think that the sinner doesn't deserve forgiveness, especially if they've committed a sin that caused harm to someone or maybe even death. But yet God forgives them. That's forgiveness beyond understanding. That's divine forgiveness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This means that every person born into this world needs to be redeemed and forgiven of their sins. It's important to know that if you ask God to forgive you and mean it, then God has forgiven you. So you should forgive yourself. If you don't forgive yourself for the sins that you've committed in the past, then you'll become unproductive because you'll be dwelling on the past instead of the present in the future. We all have made mistakes that we have to live with, plain and simple. But we can't allow the devil to hold those over our head and make us unprofitable for the work of the Lord. God's redemption brings freedom and liberty to the soul, not bondage of guilt and fear and shame. Maybe you've backslid on God and you've come back to the Lord. Don't let the devil torment you that you can't be used by God because you failed in the past. God wants to use each and every one of us. God's forgiveness goes beyond understanding. And he wants us to serve him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And you can't do that if you won't forgive yourself. God doesn't want you to beat up yourself. What if Paul, after he got saved, would not have forgiven himself for the sins that he committed? How productive would have Paul been in his calling? How much of the Bible would be missing if Paul would have sat around condemning himself of his past sins? The Lord offered Paul redemption for his soul. But it was up to Paul to move forward with Christ, or he could just sit around and be upset with all that he did in the past, the devil wants you to carry guilt. Paul knew that at one time he was the chief of sinners. In fact, he said that beyond measure, I persecute the church of God and wasted it. Paul had Christians put to death for their faith. That's a heavy weight of guilt to carry around in your mind. How many families were torn apart because of Paul's actions? That's some serious baggage that Paul had to deal with. Are you carrying around baggage that the devil wants you to carry? Are you having a hard time letting go of the past? Paul knew that Jesus saved his soul, but he still would have to forgive himself and press forward. Sometimes the toughest battles that we face are within ourselves. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, but he also wants us to forgive ourselves. Paul didn't live in the past. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You can't press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God if you're stuck in the past. The devil loves to bring up past sins, plain and simple, in your life just so that he can torment you. He knows that you can't change the past. In fact, none of us can change the past. Many people are struggling because they can't let go of their past sins. Maybe the people you hurt are struggling to forgive you, which makes it harder for you to forgive yourself. The truth is, you can't control if other people are going to forgive you or not. Just know in your heart that God has forgiven you, and it's up to you to press on. Paul became a brand new creature in Christ, and his past sins were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered by God again. If God can do that for Paul, who was the chief of sinners, don't you think he can do it for you? It's time to be productive in the Lord. And it starts with divine forgiveness. Maybe forgiving yourself isn't the problem, but forgiving others is. I'm sure Paul, who at the time was named Saul, had to face many people who didn't want to forgive him. Ananias came close to being one of those people. When Paul met the Lord on the way to Damascus, he was struck blind physically. But spiritually, his eyes were open. The first thing he wanted to know was what the Lord wanted him to do. He wanted divine direction. And the Lord told him to arise and go into the city, and it would be told what he would do. Paul didn't receive full instructions of what he was to do, but by faith he obeyed and went into the city and waited for further instructions. For 3 days, Paul was without his sight, and he did not eat and he did not drink. During this time, he prays to the Lord, and he receives a vision that a man named Ananias would come to him and lay hands on him, and he would receive his sight. You have to realize Paul was in a helpless state. He was very vulnerable. He was blind. And now, some Christian named Ananias is going to come and pray for his sight. If you were Paul, what would you be thinking? Would you be thinking that you're hoping that this Christian named Ananias is very forgiving? Because Ananias knew all that Paul did. God could have easily restored Paul's sight without the help of Ananias. But God wanted Ananias to show mercy towards Paul, so other Christians can learn by this example. See, when you forgive someone, it can be a teaching moment for others. Others will see how you had that forgiving spirit. When the Lord first called on Ananias to pray for Paul, Ananias questioned God because he had heard about Paul's evil reputation of harming Christians. Ananias was looking at Paul's past. God was looking at Paul's future. And God said to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." When you have the spirit of forgiveness that goes beyond understanding, you won't look at a person's past. You will look at the person's future through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ananias could have refused to go to Paul and pray for him because of fear or holding a grudge for what he did to those other Christians. But he obeyed God and he showed mercy to Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Ananias called Paul brother, meaning that he was part of the family of God now. The decision wasn't up to Ananias. It was up to God. But some Christians, they think it's their right to decide who should be accepted into the kingdom of God. That's God's decision, not ours. Is there someone in church that you're holding a grudge against? If a person comes to your mind right now, it's probably the Holy Spirit trying to show you that you haven't completely forgiven that person. When Jesus was here on earth, he knew people struggled with forgiveness. That's why he stressed in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." When you don't forgive someone of their wrongdoings, you show a lack of mercy. And what did Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount about mercy? He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." How can you expect God to show mercy if you're not showing mercy to others, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ? The Lord is grieved, and you may not even realize it when you don't show mercy to others because you're in your feelings. You're focused on self. Can't you see that the devil is robbing you of your blessings? When you hold on to hurt feelings, you become unproductive, and the Lord can't use you in any great way because you're going against his word. Do you even realize that? In Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through 38, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged.
Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Have you ever wondered why you're not being blessed? Check and see what is in your heart towards others. Don't you know that when you don't forgive, you hurt yourself more than you hurt the person that you haven't forgiven? Jesus is our example. He forgave those that crucified him as he was dying on the cross. He didn't wait to forgive them. That's forgiveness that goes beyond understanding, because it's divine forgiveness. Think of Paul's life and all that he accomplished for the Lord. It all started with divine forgiveness. God forgave Paul, and Ananias needed to forgive Paul too for putting those Christians to death. What if Ananias would not have forgiven Paul? Would that have changed Paul's standing with God? No. It just would have robbed Ananias of his own blessings and mercy for his own soul. It's time to put away hurt feelings and put it under the blood. It's time to move on with the Lord. God wants you to leave all that baggage at the altar. You can't be productive in your calling if you're holding something against someone else. The hour's late. We know we don't have long to work. Are you going to let go? Let Jesus take away that hurt? Show love to others? When I think about forgiveness that goes beyond understanding, I think of a young man that I met in Rwanda. Now, I've told this story before, and it's about divine forgiveness. This young man was named Daniel, and this was when we were over in Rwanda, and he volunteered to help us to invite people to the crusade. And he knew their language, naturally, and he knew English, so it was very helpful to be an interpreter. Daniel was just a young boy when his father and all his siblings, which were four siblings, were brutally killed in the 1994 genocide. Reports about this genocide was about 1 million people were killed in 3 months or so, 100 days. And that was a lot of bloodshed. Daniel, like I said, was my interpreter. He would go with me to the hospitals, villages, different places, and he would be right by my side to help pray for people and interpret my prayer. See, the thing about Daniel was, it didn't matter who we were praying for. It could have been someone from the other tribe. Daniel didn't have any discrimination in his heart. Later, Daniel and I got off, and he started telling me his story and what happened. He was 5 years old when they came and started burning down his village, taking people, killing them. All this happened at age 5. One day it seemed like it was just a normal day, and the next day it was total chaos. One tribe turned against another tribe. Men, women, and children were being killed. No mercy. Daniel happened to escape. His family put him in the jungle because he was sick and had a loud cough. So they hid him, and he survived. But his father and his four siblings didn't. They were all killed brutally. Later, he found out what happened, that they were all killed except for his mother. Four siblings, dead. The people who killed his family eventually were caught, sent to prison for 5 years. Daniel could have been bitter about them being set free and only serving 5 years for killing his family. But what he said next to me showed me that he had forgiveness beyond understanding. He said to me, "They are out now. No one has ever asked for forgiveness for what they have done, but I forgive them." Daniel was willing to forgive without being asked for forgiveness. The sad thing is, I know people that won't forgive unless they're asked for forgiveness. Why is that? And it's usually some petty little thing. And it happens here. We need to focus on the Lord and not on self. If Daniel could forgive these men that killed his family, don't you think that you should forgive others? Daniel followed Jesus' example. The question is, will you? Peter one day came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus answered back and said, 70 times 7. That's a lot of forgiveness, but Jesus was making a point. I'm sure Peter was grateful for God's forgiveness after he cursed and denied Jesus 3 times. Friend, as a child of God, you must never forget the mercy that God has provided for each one of us, and that we should pass that mercy on to others. Sinner backslider, God's mercy is going forth right now. You can receive Jesus into your heart. He died on the cross for you. What great mercy, friend. The Lord will forgive you of your sins, no matter if you're struggling to forgive yourself. The Lord is here for you, but you have to have Jesus in your heart for him to help you in a great way. Friend, pray with me now to ask Jesus Christ in your heart. Say, "Oh God, save my soul. Forgive me for my sins. But I have come home to serve you the rest of my life. And I believe that the blood of Jesus washes away all of my sins. Come into my heart, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Amen." Friend, if you meant that prayer, you have Jesus Christ in your heart. Now let's get your miracle for you. God made you. He can heal you. It doesn't even matter what sickness is in your body. Let the Lord move for you today. The Bible lets us know that believers will lay hands on the sick. I'm a believer. Reverend Chris Mockimer on this stage is a believer. And there's so many believers in this sanctuary right now, ready to pull down heaven for you. So at this time, just put your hand on your screen, and the rest of you, just raise your hands up and let the Lord move for you right now. Lord, Heavenly Father, just move in a great and mighty way. You know what their need is. Break their bondage and set them free. Heal them in the blood name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, give them the strength that they need. Let them be a mighty witness in this final hour. And Lord, let them receive all that you have for them. Heal in the holy blood name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And let everything come to normal in their body. Amen. And friend, always give God the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything that he's doing in your life. And I'd like to encourage you to go on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your blood washed, but now it's time to be spirit-filled. Friend, all you have to do is praise him by saying glory. And as you're saying that word glory, praising him, lifting up those praises, just be that yielded vessel. Let the Holy Spirit come on in and take over your tongue. That's the initial evidence right there. Let the Holy Spirit take over your tongue and speak in the heavenly language. Now as everybody starts yielding on over, let the glory come upon them. And I'm going to be praying down a great anointing upon each and every one of you. Lord, Heavenly Father, do anoint them in a special way. I call down this great anointing upon the people. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And just start praising them, friend. Glorify in Jesus. Glorify in the King. Praise in Jesus. Lifting up those praises. Let that power get stronger and stronger in your body. Yes, glorify in Jesus. Praise in the King. Just you in Jesus. Just you in Jesus.